Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Delighted to speak to you today, and I'm going to pick up some of the themes that we just heard from the Minister there and perhaps explore them in a little bit more detail. And I think what Simon Burns described to us was a very interesting and insightful presentation about the capital city, the city that we're in this morning, and a very rich picture about how unique London's health service is. And I know from the work that I do with other colleagues in other SHAs, I'm always slightly concerned to say to people London is different, because for colleagues outside of London, they always say, oh no, you always say London's different and London needs to just learn from the rest of the country. But actually, I think for those of us who've worked outside London and in London, London truly is different. And I think the Minister gave us a good description of why that is. And I wanted to say how privileged I am in speaking at today's event. In both my roles as a director in the Health Authority, so I've been at NHS London since it was formed in 2006, but also as a chief executive in North West London, so the chief executive responsible for 8 PCTs and the transition of that service to new clinical commissioners. And from both those vantage points, I understand both the exceptional healthcare that we provide in London. We've got some healthcare which is truly the envy of the world, but also the very distinctive challenges that we have in addressing healthcare services and health inequalities, and what it takes to overcome those in a world city. And over the next 18 months, we have an unprecedented opportunity to transform and design how we design and deliver healthcare. And as I think we heard the Minister say, I think really that means we need to focus on three things. Certainly from my own experience, this is the largest change that I've ever experienced in the health service, both in terms of the potential opportunities, but also in terms of the potential risks, certainly during transition. So the three themes I wanted to explore was firstly about delivering today and the challenges that we have in London now and what we need to address, particularly how we maintain quality and safety during the process of transition and all of the changes that the Minister described. And in doing that, whilst we drive up quality and improve quality and safety, how do we become more productive, cut waste and avoid duplication? And the second theme is how we reshape the system. So the Minister just talked to us about the health reforms and how we want to move towards a more clinically led commissioning system with a more responsive provider system where GPs and other clinicians will be locally empowered to decide which services they want to commission for their patients and where those services should be delivered. And I think all of us who've been working in commissioning for a long time would say that the direction of clinical commissioning is absolutely right. Even if the health bill was not going through, a lot of us have been working to ensure that the commissioning and the clinical decisions that we've made associated with commissioning have been truly clinically led. And the last theme is building strong foundations for the future. So how do we build on the successes? And you've just heard a number of them. How do we maintain momentum, stop the service from becoming distracted through the process of transition? And we focus on the priorities that are really important to the health of the population in London. And we've got a lot to build on, and it was good to hear Simon Burns talk about a lot of that, things that will be things that we here and other colleagues have driven forward over the last 5 years. And I think there's been many, many examples of transformation of health services, and transformation that's improved outcomes, it's improved safety, and it's improved, importantly, patient experience. And from next month, this means that everybody in London will be... like the integrated care pilot... Sorry, my pages are put in the wrong way. Where doctors and nurses have come together across hospital, community care, and from primary care to create one multidisciplinary team. Now, this is a project that I know very well because I'm the chief executive in Northwest London. And when we started this project, people said to me, you won't be able to make that fly. And actually, as we speak now, we have over 500,000 people who have diabetes or have who are frail elderly who are covered by this pilot, and they have one standard care record, and they are starting to stratify the care for those patients. And already I know from the data that I'm seeing in that instance, through having clinicians designing the care, through working with their commissioners, we've already in the first quarter avoided 160 admissions to hospital that otherwise would have occurred in Northwest London. And we also have heard about stroke, and that is another example where we started a programme about 3 or 4 years ago in London, and we started to design the whole of the new stroke care pathway. And as part of that, we started to design hyperacute stroke centres. And as you heard from the Minister, we now have a situation where in the first year, 200 people are alive today that wouldn't be alive. There is a study that has been done that will be published shortly, which will show that the investment that was made up front will pay dividends, it will save money. And also, importantly, the number of people who'd be disabled through stroke has significantly decreased. And also I wanted to talk about our work to truly empower patients to make the choices that are right for them. And now through the work on My Health London, and I know there's a session later on this afternoon about this, we're leading the way in revolutionising how information can be made available to the public. From next month, this means that everybody in London will be able to access information about the services provided by their GPs. So they'll be able to go onto the web and look at the services and, importantly, be able to compare the quality of those services with practices elsewhere in London, but also with practices across the country. And I think that's a good example about how we're starting to pick up and allow patients to make the choices that are right for them. But there's also still much more to do. We have, as we've heard earlier, London's health landscape is unique. It's a place where the population demographics offer particular challenges. For example, people live closer together in London. There are many people here who will know the implications of that, but it's a very unique factor. People are more transient. In some of our London boroughs, the turnover on GP lists is 30 to 40%. That doesn't exist anywhere else in the country, and that provides particular challenges to us in being able to provide health services. But we also have, interestingly enough, immunisation rates which remain below the national average. And we also have teenage conceptions that are the lowest of all major cities in the country. So those are some examples of what makes London very, very challenging. And we also heard that there are very real challenges around resources. So London has to save £1 billion of the £20 billion challenge that David Nicholson set down as an efficiency gain in the next 2 years. We need to show that we can become more efficient and cut waste, cut duplication, and ensure that we make the best use of taxpayers' money. In doing this, we need to build up our capacity to do things in new ways. And I think this conference is a good example of where we're bringing people together across London to help share new ideas and to help innovation. And in particular, we need to think about three things. We need to innovate in where and how care is provided. So how care is provided, we've talked, and the Minister gave us a number of examples of where technology, telehealth, for example, is starting to be used in London to transform the way care is provided. And where it's provided, so the integrated care pilot that I mentioned earlier, most of the care there is now being provided in out-of-hospital settings to those patients. And innovation in who provides the care. As we start to move forward trying to design new care pathways, we need to think more creatively about how we use the very rich mix of staff that we have across London and think about how we can make the best of those multidisciplinary teams. And all of this, I believe, if we're able to innovate in that way, will allow us both to become more efficient and to create higher quality care, better patient experience, whilst meeting the challenge. And also, as the Minister just ended on, and I think all of us know this, and I know this as a Chief Executive in London, we need, in the words of David Nicholson, to keep a grip during the period of transition. We need to keep a grip of our finances, and I'm sure many of us will be aware that this year alone, that is becoming more and more challenging for us. And some of those reasons are because we're in transition, and some of those reasons are because the provider landscape, as the Secretary of State started to say, needs to change in order to become more efficient. We need to also maintain the progress we've made in relation to waiting times, for example. Waiting times, you'll have seen nationally, is becoming an issue, and London has performed well in relation to waiting times and access to services as well. But we mustn't rest on our laurels, because actually we're starting to see that becoming more challenged, particularly as we go into winter. And we also need to maintain the progress we've made in other areas, such as infection rates. That remains a challenge, but we should not forget the progress that we've made across London. And all of this needs to be maintained in order to create a foundation for the new service going forward. So, just to say a bit about reshaping the service and transition. The reforms of the health system across London is now embarking upon provides us with an opportunity, I think, to create an opportunity for real improvement. The principles behind the changes, whatever we feel about some of the elements, and there are challenges for all of us within these changes, are in the right place. They're about putting patients at the heart of decision making. And that feels very right to me as somebody who's responsible for care for 1.9 million people across London. And also putting clinicians in the lead and empowering them to make the decisions that shapes care for their patients. But in taking this forward, we must not become distracted by transition. And I think this is a really important message, and Simon Burns mentioned that at the end of his speech. Whilst we're tasked with creating the new, the journey to that new actually could distract us from actually achieving the prize of the destination. And the challenges over the next 18 months are really significant, and certainly some of the most significant challenges that I've faced in my career. And I think one of the things it would be good to talk about with colleagues at this conference today is how we realise the sorts of changes that we want to achieve in healthcare whilst responding to transition and maintaining a grip over the next 12 months. But in terms of the new reforms, we have made a good start. And as you heard the Minister say, we have got 38 GP pathfinders across the capital. And as we speak now, they are responsible for £4.1 billion worth of commissioning spend. So already that has been delegated to them. And already across London, we're starting to see those GP pathfinders making different, more local decisions for their populations in relation to the areas that they're responsible. And the plan is by next April that the total spend will have been delegated to them, thus allowing us to have a full shadow year with CCGs in the lead and starting to the planning round for 13-14 and supporting them on their journey towards authorisation over the next 12 months. And work is also underway about how we can strengthen commissioning to support these new clinical leaders. And we're tasked with developing commissioning support across London. And at the moment, we're developing three commissioning support organisations that will be developing operating models that are truly responsive to local clinical commissioning groups. Now, this is an agenda that we've been involved with for a long time across London. And this is something that we have some experience in doing. And we need to be able to develop these commissioning support organisations in a way that provides efficient commissioning, but provides a step change in the capability to support local clinical commissioning groups to put their plans into practice. And that will be a challenge, because that will be about aggregating expertise, such as in areas such as informatics, but also it will be about providing a more responsive local service to clinical commissioning groups, each of whom will have different ideas about what they want from commissioning support. And as you heard, we're also investing significantly, both this year, in developing clinical commissioning groups. So we've invested £7 million in the development, the leadership and organisational development of clinical commissioning groups this year, and we plan to make a similar investment next year to help them on their way. And we've also, in answer to Caroline's question about how do we create a coalition of leaders who will take forward some of the important changes that we want to see, such as cancer care that the Minister mentioned, and learning from what we did with areas such as stroke and trauma, we've developed the London-wide GP Council. And we will work with that group to develop it further. So as CCGs start to develop their governance, they become a joint committee of CCGs. And that they would be supported by a wider coalition of clinicians across London through the development of clinical senates. And we have started that journey with clinicians across London to think about what clinical senates could look like and how we could use them to place clinicians at the fore of reshaping care. And we also, as was mentioned, we need to transform our provider landscape. And though for those of us who've worked in London for a long time will know how important that is. Importantly, what we now have, 18 trusts, acute trusts in London that are not FTs. And where we are now is that at least we have a position where each of those have assessed their position in relation to their progress towards FT, and some of them have been clear now that they are not clinically or financially viable to become foundation trusts and therefore need to look at different solutions. So in my own patch, we have North West London and Ealing Hospitals who are coming together to and want to explore coming together to create a new organisation to make them more viable to become a foundation trust. And those conversations are starting to happen all over London. And certainly that's an impetus that I haven't seen in the last five years. And importantly, they have agreements which not only says what those organisations are going to do to become clinically and financially sustainable and to become foundation trusts, but those agreements also map out what their commissioners must do to support them in that journey and what the Department of Health can do to help them as well. So that feels more positive in terms of where we've been before, in terms of having 18 organisations with a clear plan about how they will get there. That is not to underestimate the implications of the scale of change that it would require in order to get all of those organisations to become clinically and financially viable. But there is a huge commitment, I think, to make that happen. And I think we also need to use the opportunity to work in partnership. We have a good track record, and I know Pam and John are going to talk about that in a moment, so I won't say much more about that. But we have a good track record of working in partnership, not only locally, but across London. Locally, we've got the opportunity through local health and wellbeing boards. And certainly there's been great appetite amongst colleagues locally to start to move in shadow form to make those a reality. And that complemented by the London Health Improvement Board, which is a partnership between the Mayor of London, London Councils and the NHS in London, is truly a first. And I won't say more than that because I know my colleagues are going to talk about that. But that sort of initiative, that sort of partnership is where the strategic voice of London and partners coming together across London start to create the coalition for change going forward as the Health Authority and PCTs are abolished in 2013. And lastly, I wanted to say something about building the future. As I've said, there's a great tendency, certainly in my own role as a chief executive in North West London, to get consumed by keeping a grip of today, of quality and safety and money and performance, and also trying to understand what transition will look, what safe transition will look like for the services and the functions that we undertake across North West London and the 900 staff who work in those functions. But nevertheless, we need to lift our heads up and we need to think about, use the next 18 months to think about what we can do together to truly transform health services across London. And so to that end, we haven't been sitting back waiting to transition. We have started a conversation in London to start to say, over the next 18 months, what do we in the NHS in London and with partners want to see as our priorities in terms of transformation of care? And that conversation is ongoing over the coming months. But we will work with GPs and the GP Council and other clinicians across the capital to identify what matters to them and their patients. And we will identify areas that we think we can make real difference over the next 18 months. And the areas that we're likely to, some of the areas we're likely to focus on are, first of all, cancer care. So the work that started across London with the project, which is starting to create two integrated cancer systems across London to completely transform the way we commission cancer care from end-to-end pathway commissioning from prevention to survivor services. And we're likely to see the work roll out over the next 12 months with us developing those integrated cancer systems, changing the way we commission cancer care and developing a programme of work where we roll out with each of the care pathways, starting with breast cancer. And also, people will have seen the work that was published that was led by Dr. Andy Mitchell in the Health Authority looking at the implications of the safety and quality of emergency care in our hospitals in the capital, and you heard the Minister talk about that, that at weekends the service is not as good, the quality of services is not as good as it is during the day. So what can we do in the next 18 months to make a real change in that and to start to work with our colleagues in acute trusts to more move to a 24/7 service? And lastly, what can we do to get a step change in integrated care? We've got lots of very good examples in relation to integrated care. I shared one with you in North West London. There are others. And lots of our trusts are coming together to create integrated care organisations. But it seems to me that the opportunities associated with that approach to healthcare is absolutely right in terms of what we want to achieve in terms of quality and patient experience and the better use of resources. And over the next 18 months, the question for us, I think, is what can we do to get a step change in the way that we deliver those services so that every Londoner who has a long-term condition has the reasonable expectation that their care would be delivered in that way. And I think taken together, we will taking together these priorities, we can then start to map out a compelling legacy for the future commissioners and a journey with them that will help us continue the work we've undertaken over the last 5 years to transform services to patients and services that the public in London depends upon. So I'll end by saying I think all of this, we need to build on firm foundations and build a strong and compelling legacy for the future clinical commissioners. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.